With just 3 weeks remaining until voters have their say, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett is likely heartened by YouGov poll results, finding him in a much tighter race with Democratic challenger Tom Wolf than what other nonpartisan polling services report. Let's look at the numbers with Molly Ann Brody, Executive Director of Public Opinion and Survey Research at the Kaiser Family Foundation and President-elect of APOR, American Association for Public Opinion Research. Molly Ann, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this specific poll was put out by an organization called YouGov. It shows Wolf with a single deficit advantage over Corbett, and that's at variance with what other major pollsters have found, putting it as much as 25%. What accounts for this kind of a difference?
We know that everything from how respondents are selected to the question wording and ordering, how the different organizations determine what they count as a likely voter, how they weight their data, the timing of the poll, all those things can impact the actual results. And that's why we see a lot of variability in pre-election polls.
Well, if you'll allow me to quote Nate Silver from 538 Politics, he says, and he loves sports, he says, just as most baseball players hit somewhere around 260, most pollsters tend to be about average. Why is this such an outlier?
YouGov uses an approach of serving people over the internet only, as opposed to some of the more traditional approaches that generally use telephones in their mode of data collection. The other thing that differs in the way that YouGov goes about their survey methods is that their respondents are initially part of a panel that they have volunteered to participate in. Many of the more traditional telephone polling are using methods of random probability selection to select respondents to participate in their poll.
Well, just on that basis that they've selected folks who volunteer to participate, isn't that by definition a subset of a more general voting population?
You know, it could be. YouGov, along with many other new innovators in polling approaches, are using some sophisticated techniques to have their volunteer panel members actually then be chosen in a way that when they complete the survey, YouGov and their clients feel very confident that they are shedding light on the race from a more general population perspective. What we know about these approaches is that some of them seem to be working well, some not so well.
Do these newer approaches conform with APOR's statistical standards?
You know, APOR recognizes that this is a period of a lot of innovation in these new polling approaches and methods, and as an organization, we really applaud the innovators' approach. We know that that innovation can often come with some risks as well as potential rewards. There are many APOR members who are working at the moment to understand and learn more about what makes these work well and what can advance these newer methods. It's a time when consumers of survey data are exposed to a wide array of polling methodologies, and each of them have their own challenges and their own opportunities.
Is it appropriate to project that over time, internet polls will become more and more reliable as more people avail themselves of it?
What we certainly know is that over time, internet will have more and more what we call coverage. That is, more and more of the population is on the internet. But that still doesn't tell you a lot about whether each individual poll does a good job or a bad job representing a particular population.
Regarding online polls, can one be assured that one respondent isn't responding multiple times, or that partisans of a particular campaign aren't encouraged to participate in these kinds of online polls?
I think that very question speaks to the importance of transparency and having the survey organization describe in really great detail how somebody was selected and how a respondent could actually get into the poll. There are some organizations and some polls where something like you just described might be possible, and there are other approaches and methods that make such an action not possible at all. So again, it goes to the importance of really digging into the details of how a poll was conducted.
So to whatever extent 2010 or 06 might serve as a soft template for an off-term election, there are too many other variables, if I'm hearing you right, that could change that mix.
Yeah, I mean, the history of elections shows us that midterm elections historically have a lower voter turnout than general elections. But we also know that every election, you know, has, and every race itself has its own dynamics as well. So, you know, a lot depends on what else is happening on the ballot. Is there a school bond issue that a lot of young parents care about? I live in California. We have a lot of propositions on our ballot. Is the proposition a motivator to be getting a certain demographic of people out to vote differently? There's a famous case when Jesse Ventura ran for governor in Minnesota that all the pre-election polling had not assumed that young men would show up to the polls at the rates that they actually did show up. So those kinds of things can happen in any, you know, unique case as well.
I'm hearing you describe this as a dynamic time to be involved in polling science. What challenges do you see in the short and long term for your industry?
Yeah, it is actually a very exciting and, you know, scary time to some extent in our field. There's a lot of changes. There's a lot of challenges regarding both the cost of using more traditional random probability telephone sampling techniques, the concerns about the low response rates, and concerns about, you know, what happens when you use mixed mode surveys. So it is a time that's actually somewhat scary for people, but also it's very exciting, and there's a lot of discussion and discourse, and in many ways it's, you know, a renaissance in survey research, and because of that, there's a lot of people paying attention to what all of our colleagues are doing, and we're really looking forward to seeing what everyone can learn over the course of this midterm election.
If one were to aggregate all the major various polls, would that be a much truer indication of where this election stands at this juncture?
Well, I know aggregation sounds like a great solution to the problem of variability, but there are also a lot of nuances you need to think about in how you go about that aggregation. I just encourage your listeners and readers to dig in, read, learn, take in the variation from lots of different sources before they come to their own conclusion.
I'm going to go back and look up the difference between mean, mode, and median. Thanks for joining us on Newswork tonight.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Molly Ann Brody is Executive Director of Public Opinion and Survey Research at the Kaiser Family Foundation and President-elect of APOR.